I love the way you opened up this morning, talking about your arena football game, talking about the lack of enthusiasm by the players. Like, you know, they put on a big old hype show and do all these things, and then the lackluster, I think you said, lackluster way that they came out was just like, it just takes the wind out of you sometimes. And the way you do that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, it got me to thinking about New Life. Look around. Look around in here. You know, we may not be filled up to the brim in here, but I would put the spirit that we have in this church up against anybody anytime. There's never a lackluster of experience, of energy and stuff, of letting the Holy Spirit into this place. And that's truth. That's truth about being that, because this church has a good heart. And we've been going through a series of having, you know, a heart and a good heart, and what a heart choice is, that you have choices in your life and how important, you know, it is for you to guard your heart, right? We heard from Randy a couple weeks ago about his experience with a heart attack and what that felt like for him and what he learned from it and how it kind of changed some things in his life. And we've been taking that into this series of learning about what kind of hearts that we need to have. And what kind of hearts that we don't need to have. We need to put positive things in. Positive thing comes out. We squeeze out the negative things, so negative things don't come out, right? And last week we learned about three particular hearts that we should not have. And those particular hearts are a greedy heart, a hypocritical heart, and a wounded heart. And I remember going through classes to get my credentials. And Jess, you might remember this also because we just did it here recently. But in one of the books, it says, and I want to quote this, it says, your heart will shape your life. Your heart will shape your life. And whatever kind of heart that you have is the kind of life that you're going to lead. It's important to know that we need to watch out for our hearts, because our hearts will shape our life. That goes as physically as well as spiritually. That if you have a bad heart physically, what happens? Well, you can't go out and do the things that maybe you would like to do because your heart can't keep up with those types of activities. Spiritually, it's the same way. If you have a spiritually downtrodden heart or a weak heart, you're not fulfilling and able to do the things that the Lord is asking you to do until your heart is better, until it's healthier. And with our hearts, we have a tremendous power and a tremendous responsibility. Anybody here read comic books? No? Anybody here know Spider-Man? Seen the movies? You know, you've heard the saying, with great power comes what? Great responsibility. And the same thing goes with our heart. With that type of power in our heart, we have great responsibility in what we do. With our heart, we have the power over life and death. It's like, well, how do we know we have the power over life and death? Well, we're told about it. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes that we have the power over life and death with one particular instrument in our being, and that is our tongue. Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That with your tongue, that you have the power over life and death, and what you speak in your life. You have power over others. You have power over yourself with your tongue. You've heard me talk about once or twice about how the tail can wag the dog. It's sometimes that your tongue will put you in a position that you don't want to be in because you let it take over the business part of what you're trying to do. When you speak something and all of a sudden something comes out that you did not mean it in a particular way, that all of a sudden you're committed to what you're doing. The tongue has that power. Power over ourselves and others. The tongue, because of its power, can bring hardship or ease. I'm pretty sure that everybody here can lift a hand up and say, yep, I can associate with that. That I've said something or done something at one time that it caused me hardship. Or it caused me ease. And that you did those things. But what does that have to do with our heart? Well, simple fact is Jesus spoke about how everything from our heart comes out of our mouth. In Matthew, he spoke in chapter 15. If you'd take your Bibles and you'd open to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, where it says in here, and Jesus is trying to teach his crowd of believers, disciples, and those around him. He says, and starting with verse 18, where it goes, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." Those things come out of us, come out of our hearts. They're not coming out of just our mouth, but they come from something that's inside of our hearts where they leak out from us. This is sin, folks. That's what it is. It's sin that we think of those things. And we automatically do those things. And we can catch ourselves sometimes and we can get ourselves back in line with what Jesus is saying. But a lot of times, you know, that we have this errant thought that somebody has really upset you about something or somebody has done something really foolish. And what's the first thought that comes to mind? Sometimes it's just sarcasm. It's like, and sarcasm sometimes, it really destroys lives. Sarcasm. We do other things. We have evil thoughts that come out of our hearts and it speaks out of our mouth. And that's the way that we give life and death because of what we're saying, which comes from our heart. It defiles us. It defiles us. It gives us evil thoughts. It works against us. It works against what we want to be and how we want to be. And we as Christian, as believers of Jesus Christ, we need to fight against this with all the energy and all the strength that we have. That we would have good hearts. That we would place aside the slander, the immorality, the adultery, We would place away all those things and somehow purge those from our body. Now, I got good news, folks. There's a way of purging those from your body, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. There's a good way of doing that. There's a good way of going out and developing a good heart. You know, last week we learned how we're not supposed to have these evil hearts, these negative hearts. So this week I want to talk about having a good heart and how to develop those and what a good heart really looks like. Because everything comes from inside of us. We learned in Proverbs 4:23, that we are to guard our hearts because everything comes from it. It's a wellspring, right? So what? How are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to guard our hearts? How are we supposed to have the right heart? Well, Jesus was very intuitive when he gave the Beatitudes and telling us what kind of a heart we're supposed to have. And in the Beatitudes, he talks about in Matthew 5:6 about how we're supposed to live a life hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is the first heart that we're actually supposed to have. We're supposed to have a thirsty heart. A heart thirsting for God. And that's it. Just for God. Nothing else. Nothing else in the world that we would say would take up our time or something pleasant that we have. We're supposed to thirst for God in our heart. We're supposed to thirst for those places inside of us where God can pour His Spirit into us and change our lives in a tremendous way. He pours His Spirit through us, changing us into becoming something so important to Him that He says, "I'm going to give my Son to you so you can make this change and have this part of your life." In our thirsty hearts, there can be a place in there where we are empowered by God in everything that we do. And that's, folks, that's what we need. We need to be empowered by God in everything that we do. Because if we're not empowered by God, we're going to run out of energy sooner or later. God comes by, and when we're thirsty, it protects us from unhealthy motivations. It helps us to keep our focus and our direction on Him. And that nothing else would take over the area where He's supposed to be in our lives. That we would focus in such a way that there's no way something else can wheedle its way in there to distract you from God. And the life is full of distractions. This world is full of distractions. Everywhere you turn, I went to a family event yesterday. And we were there with family around. I mean, this house was full of family. And everywhere I looked, people were at their phone. I mean, we were sitting in chairs. Ask my wife, Jody will tell you, it was like incredible that people, it's like, you have all these people you haven't seen for a year and you have nothing to talk about? We're all staring at our phones, folks. We're being distracted from what we should have been thinking about and making part of our life, of building up relationships that had been set aside for a year because, well, they live a long ways away. But it didn't happen. And it felt like when I left there, it's like, well, I kind of felt like when you came out of a football game. That was a waste of time. Because we're not paying attention to the things that we need to pay attention to. And God is saying that, hey, have a thirsty heart, you're going to pay attention to me. And you're going to maintain a right perspective of agenda in your life and putting me first. And that way I come alongside of you and I help you get through everything. That's the big part of it. Because, folks, we ultimately serve God, right? We ultimately serve God. You could talk to some person outside this door that doesn't believe in God and is an atheist or whatever, and I will tell them to their face, you still serve God. Because at some point in time, your knees are going to bow, and you're going to bow down before God when that time comes. You are not off the hook just because you say you don't want to believe in this part because your perspective and your agenda is different than God's. You are going to see the Creator at some point in time. And I hope that it's a good experience. Folks, we're going to see the Creator at some point in time. And I hope that it's a good experience for you. But just because we call ourselves a Christian doesn't mean that we have that heart inside of us. This is how we start getting that heart, a heart of being thirsty. Thirsty for God. Seeing our need for God. And thirsting for more than what we have already. It's great how we thirst for those things. And we have that part of our life. And to get to that point, we need to have another type of heart. And that's a repentant heart. A repentant heart. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say a repentant heart? A repentant heart is probably one of the first things a new follower of Christ finds out or learns about as a repentant heart. To repent of their sins. To come before God and confess your sins and repent and say, I no longer want to be the person that I was. I no longer want to do these things. That's a repentant heart. And when you do that and you believe in Jesus and you confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus and you believe in your heart, that's a repentant heart, you are saved. That's called salvation. But a repentant heart is not just a heart that comes once in a while or just one time when you're saved. A repentant heart is something that is developed and goes through your entire life of following Jesus. That you have to repent from things in your life because, again, like we spoke about it, we are not perfect. And we do things wrong. And when we do things wrong, sometimes sin creeps into our life. And when sin comes into our life, if we're paying attention to the Lord when He's visiting us, and He's saying to you that, hey, this came in your life, this sin, we need to repent of that sin. And we need to make that part of who we are and having a repentant heart. It's about enduring daily choices of being with God. Enduring daily choices of repenting of things that you know are not right in your life. It's not to put shame upon you. It's not to put, you know, to hold you down. It's actually the opposite. It's to lift you up. So many times we walk with secrets in our life and those secrets weigh us down. Those sins weigh us down and we let go of those things. All of a sudden this weight is lifted and we say with our heart, Lord, I don't want that anymore. I repent of this. All of a sudden your heart is free. It's free of that baggage. It's free of that weight. It's free of the chains that would hold it from being able to beat correctly from being as strong as it could be and living a life for Jesus. It's about returning to our continuing need of God and to remember that we are unworthy. We're not worthy. There's a lot of philanthropists out there in the world that give away a lot of money. But it's like they're no more worthy than you are. In fact, in some ways, you're probably more worthy than they are. Because you realize that this is a way that you need to live with a repentant heart and your heart being in the right place and continuing to come back to God and saying, God, I'm sorry for all the things that I have done wrong. I don't want to be that way. And God says, I will forgive you yesterday, I forgive you today, and I will forgive you tomorrow. Because we walk around with this repentant heart and keeping an honest heart. An honest heart made for Jesus. A heart that is contrite and sincere. In the book of Psalms, it talks about, you know, the Lord not wanting sacrifice. It talks about, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart for you, God. It's not about what we do for you. It's not about how much money we give to people. It's not about anything else. God is looking for that particular type of sacrifice where He knows your heart and your heart is sincere in everything you do and you are with Him and for Him. Go out and do all these great things, these great jobs, and do all these, you know, give away all your money and do those things, but approach God with the wrong heart and see what happens. That is not a good day, folks. The Bible talks about how brothers and sisters will be there at the end, and one will go and one will stay. You ever think to yourself why one left and why one didn't get to leave? It probably had to do with the state of their heart and their belief. Their belief in God and truly giving their lives to God and making God a part of who they are in every aspect of what they do. Because when we give our hearts to God, this is the one and only way, the one and only that we get to see everlasting life. The one and only way. Folks, once saved, always saved. You know, I'll probably get struck down being in this area, but once saved, always saved is not a true thing. It's not. Salvation comes at the beginning when you repent. Salvation continues to come as you continue to repent and live a life for Jesus. That's what the repentant heart is truly about. It protects us from holding on to our sins. It protects us from being separated from God. It protects us so that we can avoid long-term separation from Him. It protects us from that. This is what Jesus came down and paid the price for, that we would not have long-term separation from our Heavenly Father. That's the price paid. We're going to learn about that a little bit more coming up in the Easter holiday weekends. But to do that, to have a repentant heart in our life, we have to see ourselves realistically. We have to see ourselves objectively in who we are. We need to continue battling the temptation that comes so easily in life. And I don't know about the rest of you, but there are some areas of my life where temptation comes way too easily. Way too easily. And there is somebody out there that knows that. And that's where they attack me at all the time. Because we are no less human today than we were before when we gave our lives to Jesus. And the thing is, we need to realize that of others also. That others are no less human today than they were yesterday, the week before, so on and so forth. And realizing that they have their own battles going on. And to make it through those battles, we have to have this one last heart. This one last heart I'm going to give to you. And that's a teachable heart. A teachable heart. You have to have a heart that yearns to learn about things. Christ talked about how he had given the ability for some of us to understand the parables, while others it was being kept from him. In the book of Luke, he talks about in chapter 8, where it says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. It has been given to you. But it has not been given to everybody. Some of those he hides their eyes from hearing and understanding, from seeing who he is and what he's talking about. This means those people that understand, those people that the secrets have been given to is because they had a teachable heart. They wanted to learn. They yearned for more and more and more to glean in and understand and realize that we need to grow. We need to grow. We talk about backsliding sometimes, and I think there's a misconception about backsliding. And I'm probably speaking to well-educated people when it comes to that. But backsliding is not the simple fact that you're taking a step backwards. Backsliding can be the simple fact that you're standing still and other people are still going ahead. That when you're standing still, are you standing still because you no longer have a teachable heart? Have you plateaued to a point where you cannot get past the plateau? If that's a point in you where you can't get past that plateau, I would have you examine your heart and to see if you still have a teachable heart, that you yearn to learn about Jesus and what the Bible has to say about him. The Holy Spirit will definitely give you the information as long as you want to be receiving that information. You know, it's like a radio station. A radio station is transmitting all the time, but you're not getting the signal in until you turn the radio on in your car. Let's turn the radio on in our car, folks, so that we can receive the signal and we can hear what's going on. And we can learn from those things. Because a teachable heart protects us from the snares of pride in our life. Pride and insecurity get in the way all the time. It is the huge monolith that comes into your pathway when you're out there. Pride and insecurity that keeps you from learning things because you thought you've gotten to the point where you can't learn anymore. That's pride. And if that's where you're at, we need to get that stuff out of the way. We need to learn more. We need to read the books. We need to pray. We need to read the Bibles. We need to read the commentaries. We need to be part of Jesus. We need to be a part of what he wants to teach us. We need to have our hearts open to other thoughts and other ways of thinking, not just our own. We're not always right. I know I'm always right. Jody points that out to me a lot. So it's like, I understand the fact that I'm not always right. But having a teachable heart grows from having a humble heart. And knowing that you don't know everything and the desire to learn. We need to let the Holy Spirit rewrite the preconceived notions inside of us that we carry with us. And we all carry that. You know, I was introduced to that when I came into this area. And the cultural difference they have here. And that's not to say that I didn't learn things. I did. I learned to understand what they're talking about and where they're coming from. Didn't mean I agreed with everything. And that's okay, folks. But at least you're willing to listen. You're willing to listen. It means you have a teachable heart if you're willing to listen. And have that part of your life. We need to acknowledge we need to learn more. Every day, it's a lifelong process, right? It's a lifelong process of learning. And pride is the enemy of a good heart. Pride is the enemy that leads to having the greedy heart, the hypocritical heart. Pride is the enemy that comes up and tells us that we have hearts not for the Lord, that we can develop a wounded heart. And we have a proponent of pride in this world. Satan is there to speak into your life to give you pride. To say that pride is good. We're not going to get into the talk of what kind of pride. But I think you're getting what I'm saying. You need to have a humble and contrite and sincere, honest heart. To make that part of your lives. Because our hearts are constantly under attack. Doesn't matter what's going on. Our hearts are constantly under attack. Physically, spiritually, they're being battered from all around. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard it from disappointment, discouragement, and disillusionment. Because those all affect our hearts greatly. They work against having good hearts. We need to guard our hearts. We need to teach them to be thirsty. We need to teach them to be repentant. And when we do that, that's when Jesus truly enters into your life. And he's part of your... Jesus shows us how to do that. He showed us with his heart first. He showed us his heart first, folks. He says, I'm going to give you a picture of what a heart should be. And he did. And he gave it to us. And Jesus is the only person that equips us to be able to change our hearts. If you don't believe that, you need to speak to me. Because I remember all through my 15 years of being out on the road and dealing with conflict with people and being in people's lives, not because I wanted to be there, because they needed to be there. I learned through that process that Jesus is the only person that can change a human's heart, can change a person's heart. And that's where I found the Lord. He's the only way we can get well. We need a different heart sometimes. Yes, even as we walk in his ways, sometimes our heart has a way of, you know, doing something we don't necessarily like. But when we walk in his ways, he gives us the ability to be different, to come alongside and say, Lord, I'm sorry about what I did, and I want to be different. Could you now give me the ability to not be that way again, to live a life according to what you want, and the love and the mercy and the grace that is given out by you, that you show me every day of my life, so that others can feel the same thing and others can have a different heart inside of them. I don't know about you guys, but I look at the world around us and I am tired of the status quo. Yes. I'm tired of the way the world is behaving. I'm tired. I'm just tired. But the only way the world's heart is going to change is for them to believe in Jesus, for them to give their life to Jesus. And if you are one of those, if you're one of those folks right now that needs to give your heart to Jesus, I suggest you get to doing. I suggest you get to doing, because he's the only one that changes hearts. He's the only one that can change your life around from feeling the way that you're feeling, from being the way that you're being, and seeing a new and joyous way of living. Give your heart to Jesus. Make him part of who you are, and you will see such a great difference in your life. Because he is the only one that can do it. He's the only one to do it. And if you know a friend, you know a family member, you know somebody else outside of here that has not given their heart to Jesus, those are the type of people you need to talk to. Those are the type of people you need to pray for. That they would give their heart to Jesus and their heart would change. I will guarantee you, you will see a difference. And if you don't think that's true, I tell anybody, talk to my wife. I won't even be in the room. And she will tell you the difference that it does. I think about who I was, and I'm ashamed of it. think about who I am. And I thank Jesus every day for it. Because my life would probably be over by now. Let's worship the Lord.